All right, we're recording. Here we go.
Theme song time.
It's the Brian Dooner Show podcast with Cody Goff, because we don't have a theme, because we don't have any money, and don't know any musicians who would do a theme for the show, so we do it ourselves. It's the Brian Dooner Show podcast with a little fiddler on the roof thrown in.
And a little tradition.
Tradition. All right, fantastic. Here it is. This is the big Christmas timey podcast, because we will not be on the 23rd of December, a day I'll always remember. That's not the actual song, but it sounds close enough. So we are coming to you now from high atop the Allstate Skyline Studio, where Cody has plied us with alcohol, his eggnog recipe. I'm a little agitated. By agitated, I mean tipsy. No, I'm not. I'm fine.
You're not agitated like last week.
No, last week was horrifying. I'm in a good mood tonight. I wanted to be here. I couldn't wait to be here because we have a special guest with us this year, as we did last year and as we did numerous times before. Molly Noonan is here.
You might call it a tradition.
It is a tradition.
Hello, everyone.
Tradition. So Molly is here. She's home from New York. She's now a big adult person, out of school. She's living on her own in Brooklyn, NYC, eating pizza at a pizzeria with Sal and Mookie and the rest of the Do the Right Thing cast. So everybody's there. Spike Lee, Ozzie Davis, everybody's there. And so she's home for Christmas, which is very nice. And I said, do you want to come in and do the podcast? She asked how much.
Yeah.
I said, you get paid what we get paid. Bupkis.
Tradition.
So she's here. This is very exciting. Welcome home. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, good. We're happy to have you. Cody's here, back from Alaska. We have to find out about that, because when we last talked, you were heading off to Alaska, and I told you how envious I was. I've always wanted to go to Alaska, so we've got to talk about Alaska. My social schedule has been unbelievably
boring. Yours has.
Mine has. I had two parties in 2 days.
Whoa.
Yes, insane. And then school is coming to an end. Now school is over. My long-term position is over. We had we did the big second grade long-term sub thing, and that is now done. And a lot is happening. But now we're recording this in point of fact. We're recording this late Thursday night. So tomorrow, Friday, is my final day of school, and I've been prepping like a maniac, because I volunteered to be part of the staff breakfast. Every Friday, the staff, somebody on staff, usually two people, sometimes three, volunteer to make breakfast for the rest of the staff. So you have to make breakfast for like 60 people, and it ranges. There's been everything from the art teacher and the music teacher do an omelet bar one day in the spring, where they set up the hot plates and they're making omelets.
That's unreal. That's like being on a cruise ship.
It's crazy. And last year, the two kindergarten teachers were going to make egg sandwiches.
Ooh. What?
It sounds like a lovely idea. And it was. They were very good. But they only had two of those little egg maker machines, and there's 60 people. So, like, I went in at 7:30 and ordered my egg sandwich, and I got it at, like, 8:23, and the kids come in at 8:25.
Mm.
So it's tough. And there's everything in between. Sometimes just donuts. The staff has a weird fixation with cheesy potatoes.
Oh, who doesn't?
Me.
Am I right?
I'm on the fence.
I guess, yeah. I don't have a fixation, but if somebody said, hey, I got some cheesy potatoes over here, I would be lured into anywhere.
I will say, they're very tasty. I've tried them. I tried them last week, as a matter of fact. But you have to have cheesy potatoes. So there was a big announcement, numerous emails. Hey, no one has signed up for breakfast on the 21st. It would be a shame if our final day, our final Friday, nobody made breakfast. If there was no breakfast for the staff. The guilt trip being laid on thick, like they were spreading Nutella on our feelings. And so I'm in the lunchroom one day, enjoying the same lunch that I eat every day, which is pathetic. But one of the teachers, who was a second grade teacher last year, so when I was doing my long term last year, she was our team leader. Now she's in first grade. She was talking about it, and I said, well, you know, I'll help, because I was drunk on turkey.
Yeah.
My turkey sandwich and my apple. I was feeling giddy. And I said, all right, I'll help. So then another, and the reading specialist. So it's myself, a first grade teacher, and one of the reading specialists. We're handling breakfast tomorrow. Big deal. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, hey, you know, they'll have me go get a couple dozen donuts. Maybe I bring some coffee. It's going to be phenomenal. No. We are doing a pancake bar.
Where, do you sub at a gourmet cooking school?
I do. I'm at a culinary institute.
Excellent. Yes. Second grade culinary institute.
Second grade. Well, listen, you got to start them early. You don't just become Anthony Bourdain in your 50s.
Cooking's a life skill.
It is a life skill.
I was on the grocery run today for the pancake breakfast, and just the menu is, I mean, it's a better breakfast than I've ever had.
Are you going to go to school with him tomorrow?
I wish.
She should. Here's what's happening on the menu.
For real.
Now, there are three of us, and they divided it up. And I'll be honest, they gave me some easy stuff. So I'm in charge of the fruit salad. I also have to bring a griddle, so I will be cooking pancakes. Now, I thought for this many people, we were just going to start making pancakes. And then we were going to have all the toppings. We're already going to have, Cody, we're going to have blueberries, strawberries, bananas, pecans, M&Ms, chocolate chips, whipped cream. What else is going on?
Are you opening a frozen yogurt store?
I'm opening an IHOP. This is how I'm going to start franchising to schools. I'm going to be the IHOP caterer just to schools. But it'll be Bryhop, Brian's House of Pancakes.
Ah.
See that? Beautiful branding. Don't steal it. It's mine. So not only are we, but then I was told by the ladies, oh no, we can't just make the pancakes. If you're making blueberry pancakes, the blueberries have to be in the batter. So my thought was we'd make a bunch of pancakes, keep them warm, and people would just take the pancakes like you were at a buffet on Easter.
And put the stuff on top.
No.
I understand what they're saying, though, because if I'm going to have a chocolate chip pancake, let's say.
Yeah.
It's got to be in there.
All right. So now we're making them fresh. But now we're not just doing the pancakes. We're also doing bagels and cream cheese. We're doing two egg bakes and, of course, cheesy potatoes. Plus, one of the reading specialists, who was a very nice woman, she all of a sudden said, well, I made some blueberry muffins too. And then she says to me the other day, listen, Noonan. And they all call me Noonan. I don't think any of them know my first name. They think it's Mr., but most of them don't even use Mr. They just call me Noonan.
Do you work at a military culinary school?
I do. They're not. It's a prison.
It's not a real school. They're just hanging out.
It's not a real school. I just tell Debbie I'm leaving in the morning. She doesn't know.
Right.
So she goes, well, listen, I'm doing this cookie exchange with my cousins, and I had extra dough, so I'm bringing in cookies, too. And I'm like, stop.
For breakfast?
That's just not,
well,
that's
that,
insane.
No, but that kind of stuff, then it'll stay in the lunchroom till lunch, because I'm also bringing a case of 30 full-size candy bars. For some reason, I went to do my mom's tree last week, and she left me a note. I have this case of candy bars. It's a case of 30 full-size Snickers, M&Ms, Milky Way.
It's like, imagine if you had a vending machine to stock. What would be delivered on a pallet?
If you owned a 7-Eleven and you were going to do. So I'm bringing that extra. I'm bringing the peppermint bark. I'm in charge of the fruit salad and the bagels and cooking pancakes. And I also brought pecans, and I got the strawberries and the bananas to top it, and the blueberries. So I'm the fruit guy. With some candy thrown in, plus the bagel man. But somebody else handled the cream cheese. Now, you may ask yourself, as Debbie said to me, what time does school start? And I said, 8:25, the kids come in. And how is this all going to happen in an hour? I said, I don't know. Maybe they'll get a sub for me because I'm making pancakes. So that's what tomorrow holds.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
It just came to me. I saw a BuzzFeed video once where they fill, get this, you take a griddle, standard size, you fill the whole thing with batter as if it's like that.
One giant pancake?
Yeah, but hold on, because
from Uncle
then.
Buck?
No, like, yeah, well, yes, but hold up, because in you divide it into six sections,
mm-hmm.
and one ingredient goes in each section. So at one time, you're cooking one blueberry, one strawberry, one chocolate chip.
Well, the strawberry is just for on top.
Okay, one blueberry, one banana, one chocolate chip.
What about an M&M?
One pecan, one M&M. I still have one left. An original for like a lame teacher in the back?
Who's going to eat a plain pancake?
I don't know if there are M&Ms there. You're insane if you're eating a plain pancake. But maybe you could try that.
Well.
But also, I don't know how you would flip it.
You wouldn't flip it. Plus, there's a hole. There's a hole in the griddle where the grease comes out if you're cooking, you know, bacon or something on it. So that would, it would drop through. I'm going to make them traditional.
Okay. If the person who made that BuzzFeed video is listening, shoot us an email because I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't know where to find it. How does it not come through the hole in the griddle?
I don't know.
Let me know.
So yeah, so that's what, that's the prep that was going on before the podcast today. I was doing that plus prepping my goodie bags that I'm giving to the children tomorrow with a little note from Mr. Noonan. Some fun, what'd you say, Molly? Fun little bag?
Pretty full fun. I, later in the podcast, brought us all something from the bags as a fun holiday surprise.
So we will do, yes, we'll use it to as a sign-off.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a new theme. Oh. It could be the new, it could be what leads us into an actual theme.
Is music involved?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
All
right.
So there's something musical in the bag of fun that I'm giving to the children.
Yeah.
Did you just make yourself another nog while we were sitting here?
Yeah.
Pretending you were paying attention, but really making a cocktail.
All that talk about pancakes and everything, you're driving
you
me
drink
to drink
some batter. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's
you're driving me to drink because I just can't handle
it. Stop driving that hot rod.
I'm just gonna get some whipped cream on this. If you missed the Facebook Live video, you got to go to Brian Noonan Show page on Facebook because I went through this nog and brandy recipe and I'm quite happy with it. I'll make you. Are you mad that I didn't make you one? Oh, no, you're driving.
No, I'm drinking.
You got models. Cars.
Well, you should tune in because it's a holiday drink that apparently does not break the bank or the belt because...
Oh, this definitely breaks the belt.
This benefits. Breaks the belt.
Yeah, no, this is...
There's one of our fine engineers giving a tour.
I
like
just wanted to
aquarium.
Use the slogan that I came up with.
It was very nice.
Thank
good
you.
Try.
Well, definitely it was good. You guys didn't have to ruin it with the health fact.
As soon as you threw in engineer, I figured there was somebody behind me trying to kick us out of the studio.
Well, you fake news it, Molly.
Are those hosts right now? Are those like...
Probably. They could be new hosts. They're
they look
about
like 18. They're about 18, so they're probably new hosts, right? Some... Yeah. You know, some
leaving.
Random shifts.
Scared them.
Well, they're going towards the window. I think they're either going to check on Brittany or...
Oh, I'm worried about her.
They are going to check on Brittany. You know that.
Nah, she's fine.
Nah, she's a good girl.
Well, that is an elaborate...
Gross.
That sounds like you've got more going on with your little pancake deal.
My little pancake deal.
Then,
it is a huge... Yeah, it's a horrible undertaking.
I was going to say, it sounds more elaborate than the Christmas dinner that I may be having this year.
Wait, whoa. What?
Well, what's the menu?
I don't know. What
are
my
are
parents
you cooking?
Make? No, my parents are making beautiful, amazing Christmas feast.
You're eating it. You're not...
It's an amazing Christmas feast, but I'm just saying, yours is so elaborate.
It might have less moving parts than the pancake bread.
Do you think your dad's going to make it as much effort for actual Christmas dinner?
Oh, we got Christmas catered, and let me tell you, anybody who's...
Well, we go to my brother's for Christmas.
Yeah, well, we go to somewhere, and then
and Christmas
they have
Eve
it,
we get Chinese.
They have
I offered to cook, I said
Chinese
to Molly today, how about I cook for Christmas Eve, even though I'm working here till 6, I could still whip up something when I get home, nice Christmas Eve, fancy.
No.
She's like, no, I just want to get Chinese.
Last year, we started the newest tradition.
Tradition!
Of the holiday season.
Tradition.
Which,
it actually started
is,
back in Frankfurt.
Oh, did we get Chinese?
Germany?
Well,
yeah.
Our thing, yes. Yeah,
back in Germany.
Hundreds of years ago, people did this for the first time, and we've mirrored it now, which is you stay in your pajamas, holiday-themed, all day, and you just watch all the Christmas movies you can. Intermittently, you make hot snacks, and then you eat those snacks, and then upon dinner time, you order a bunch of Chinese food, you eat it in your pajamas, you watch some more Christmas movies, and then boom, you're asleep.
Molly has made that her tradition. Debbie and I don't get the whole, we don't get to enjoy the whole day in your pajamas doing nothing.
Mom will this year.
Well, you could wear your pajamas all day.
I'll probably wear pajamas here.
Yeah.
Because it's Christmas Eve. Who's going to be here? The bosses aren't going to be here. Nobody's going to be here.
Right.
Mom's not working on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So she will be in her pajamas. We have family pajamas this year, Cody. It's true.
Oh, yes, nice. We have three pairs of matching jammies.
Well, as my brother said at his, my brother Zach said at his toast at my wedding, he told some story about how he knew it was meant to be when he saw Casey and me wearing the same Guns N' Roses t-shirt
right
some morning in Rockford. So we decided that Christmas to wear matching t-shirts on Christmas Day.
Very nice.
That is a tradition now that we are going to uphold ad nauseum.
That's
beautiful.
So, nice.
So every day on every Christmas, we're going to wear matching
very
clothes.
Nice. Yeah. Are you buying something special?
Nah, to,
not
what,
going
to wear?
Out to look for, yeah, looking
no.
for fun t-shirts, maybe something ironic.
No, I got free t-shirts at this conference I was at last month, so we're going to do that.
Nice.
So I get
swag.
To be cheap
Christmas
and,
swag.
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
Very nice.
What the heck?
Very nice. So what else is your plan? Are your plans for the holiday? We know you're going to Rockford for Christmas.
Yeah.
And will that be it?
It's about
How
it.
How long will you stay there?
Only a few days.
All right.
Only a few days. We, like, you know, basically the entire theme of last week's podcast was I am overbooked and overscheduled, and it's all fun mm-hmm. things. But next week, so I actually worked ahead with my job so substantially that my podcast, the Curiosity Daily podcast I do for my day job,
yes,
is done through January 2nd.
Really?
So I've got them all done, edited, recorded, scheduled.
Wow, good for you.
Flat out there. So my goal is to maybe answer a few emails next week, but pretty much from Christmas to New Year's, pretty much just not do anything.
Wow.
Like not work, don't go anywhere, just chill. We had
a friend
Facebook messaging me earlier tonight saying, what are y'all doing in a group we're in? What are y'all doing tomorrow and Saturday? And I was like, we got no plans, and I am keeping it that way.
Really?
So
Good for you.
We just need some downtime. And you know what? I have only played about 22 hours of Smash Brothers Ultimate.
I know. You were saying that last week, how you had it, and you didn't get to
right.
get to use it.
About how one of the last Smash Brothers games that came out, when I came out, I went to the midnight release and played for about 14 hours straight.
Oh, my God.
So that's the way I like to roll with Smash Brothers, and I've not been able to do that. Now, I will say I played most of the plane trips to and from Alaska, so I got some quality time in there.
Did you really?
Yeah. So I'm at about 20 hours, but...
I don't know. Do you beat the game? Like, do you just play until you... I don't know what beat the game even means, but
you
until
play
it's
until
done?
Until he reevaluates his life choices, then he stops for a while.
So it's a... fighting game, but it's a four-player party fighting game with Nintendo characters.
Okay.
So I get together with friends. I mean, in high school, this is all we
did. I get together with friends.
Oh, in high school, it was Super Smash Brothers Melee for the GameCube. And
I had a GameCube.
Yeah.
Sweet. Good fun.
Sophomore, I think it was probably junior year it came out. Junior and senior year of high school, all my friends would just come over and play Smash Brothers. My parents were out of town one weekend, and rather than have girls over or have a big party or drink, I had a bunch of friends over. I had like 10 friends over. We had a chili dog eating contest.
Oh, my God.
No alcohol, no drugs, nada, and a Smash Brothers tournament. This is my high school life.
How many?
See, that's good, though. You're a nice,
that's nice.
You're a
yeah,
healthy guy.
But just out of curiosity, how many people were there?
Probably about 10 of us. We're in the same friends group.
Wow.
In fact, my friend Icebag John, Brian has had the misfortune of meeting.
You always make it seem like I have beef with Icebag John.
The misfortune of meeting. No, that's coming from me. I have beef with Icebag John. He was in my wedding and I have beef with him. It's
I just nicknamed him Icebag John.
No, which is fine. I'm the one that has the beef with him. He's my best frenemy.
Yeah, you got beef. Too much
your
beef.
Your best frenemy?
He was at this tournament's junior year, and tomorrow or the next day, he's going to come over and play like 6 hours of this game with me. And
wow,
it's going to be
nice.
Just blissful. So I like to take it easy. And like to me, December 26th is a sacred day. The day after Christmas Day, yeah, it's a day of celebrating, but you've got to cook and clean and you've got some obligations. Opening presents is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
The 26th is a fun day.
Yes.
The 26th, growing up, I'm going to risk this.
Uh-oh, what are you doing?
We're going to welcome somebody in. Ralph Cramden is on the phone, a guy that we invited to come. And I think he's having a stroke.
Ralphie here?
Roger Badish is on the phone. Roger, who we had invited to come in and be part of the podcast, but he would rather go bowling. So Roger is bowling. What do you want to tell people where you bowl, Roger, so they can, well, it's Sunday when they're listening to this, so they won't know.
Well, yeah. It's Habetler Bowl on Northwest Highway and Foster.
Okay.
32 lanes. We are on the last two lanes of our league, even though it's what we call position night.
Oh,
so
position night, sure.
Team, yeah. Uh-huh. Team we're closest to. We're bowling a team that's 1 point ahead of us, and we won the first game by about 70 pins.
Wow.
I bowled the 189.
189, is that good?
Insane.
Is that good?
Are you serious? Are you a human man? That's crazy. 189. One time I bowled a 60. And I was like, I was okay with it.
You're a work in progress.
What are the team names that we have,
yeah, what's
by
your
the way?
Team names, Roger?
Our team name is A-Tech.
A-Tech?
Because a company that fixes machines sponsors us. So it's A, the letter A, and then the word tech, T-E-C-H.
Oh, so you're sponsored.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Does all the teams have to be sponsored.
Sure. And then do they provide, like, some after party for you guys?
At the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Even though tonight, because we're getting ready for the holiday break, we won't bowl the following week.
Oh, sure. Nobody bowls
tonight,
over the holidays.
Our league fees pay for a free drink for everybody, I believe.
Wow. What are you going to have?
How about them big spenders?
What are you going to have, Raj?
Oh, I've got my typical seltzer water with a lemon.
Wow. You're saving them money.
Roger's bowling team has more sponsors than we do.
Yeah, really? How does that work?
Well, you know, give it time because Mariano's is sure to be a sponsor.
Mariano's, Oberweis. You missed the eggnog, Roger. Cody, well, watch the Facebook Live video. Cody made his world famous Dad's Recipe eggnog.
Yeah, I did see part of it as you were live. I did those because I was checking to see when I finally realized that I was way late. I decided to see if you were podcasting or doing your little pre-broadcast.
Don't minimize it by saying our little pre-broadcast. It's Facebook Live.
Little.
I see what
it's
you're doing.
It's not little because you guys are big in the industry.
You're acting like we didn't invite you to come. You were invited to be part of this.
I know you did.
Your A-Tech bowling partners over us, and that's fine. I understand you needed a free seltzer water. We would have given it to you wholeheartedly. Would have easily given you a free seltzer water.
Well, but I also had to take care of the grandkids before I came home. So I have double duty.
Are you angling for another World's Greatest Grandpa mug this holiday season?
I actually got number one grandpa tree ornament.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Look, it's a very
pretty one.
That's you. Now all the other grandpas.
The grandkids took care of me.
All the other grandpas who got that. Yeah, sure. They were being lied to by their offspring. This is you. You had the deal.
I am the only number one.
Of course you are. Got to see Cody. We saw Roger and his lovely bride Bridget at the Dave Plyer Christmas extravaganza. Dave and his wife Lori have a beautiful Christmas party every year, and Roger and Bridget were there.
Yeah.
As were Debbie and I. And this is Roger for you. Now, I say this, Cody, because you've known Roger a long time. So I walk in, and I see Roger across the room, and I walk over, and then I see Bridget sitting on the couch. And I say hello to Roger, and I've taken two steps past Roger toward Bridget. And Roger goes, go say hi to Bridget. I go, where do you think I was going? Where did you think I was walking? I said, hi, Bridget, and I was walking toward her. And go say hi to Bridget. Okay,
oh, Roger.
Mr. Manners, I got this handle. He was telling everybody that. He was telling everybody that, like, everybody was going to just ice Bridget out of all the conversation.
Was Bridget worried that people wouldn't talk to her?
So she wasn't in everyone's line of sight. Most people were standing up.
Right. I was standing up, so I saw over the crowd to a woman who I knew sitting on the couch who I addressed and then moved toward.
I was just being polite.
He was being chivalrous.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, like a
thank
knight.
Thank you, Cody.
It would have been chivalrous had I not made any mention of his lovely bride, and yet I did. So that's all right. That's all right.
There's no room for animosity on this holiday podcast.
That was her first visit to the soiree.
Yeah, that's quite a party they put on over there. They don't throw that together the last minute. It's not like, hey, get a bag of Doritos and a six-pack. We're having a party.
I've never been, but I was in Alaska, so I'll have to go next year if I'm invited, if I'm still employed.
Wow. I think Dave would invite. I have a feeling even if I wasn't here, Dave would invite me. I could put a word in for you, Cody. You know, Roger put a word in for you.
As long as
you say hello to Bridget. Make sure you say hi to Bridget.
Oh, I don't know about that.
How am I supposed to
know where she is if Roger doesn't tell me?
That's true. Roger doesn't know.
I will tell you.
Are you bowling in a wind tunnel? Where exactly are you? At the bottom of a well?
It's a very large building, and I actually, we are now at the end of the second game. We are down. I bowl anchor, so I'm the fifth bowler on the team.
All right.
I am up now in the 10th frame. I've got a 141 through 8 with a strike in the 9th.
Wow.
And I'm trying, let's see, 41, 70. I could bowl a 201 if I strike out.
Roger.
Come on, Roger.
Are you going to bowl while you're holding the phone in your other hand?
I could if you
can
wanted
you hand
me
the,
to.
Can
that
you hand the phone to someone who will describe
yes,
what
hand
you're
the
doing?
Phone. I can hand to the phone to...
Now, will that make you too see. Nervous? I don't want to cost you the tournament. I don't want to be the guy who ruins your game because I know you'll turn
this
it on
is,
us.
I will pass the phone to a young man who I've known since he was very little. His name is Reed Mackin. Okay. He used to be a neighbor of ours. Reed, this is Brian Noonan and Cody Goff, and who else is there?
Say hi to
you?
Molly. That's my daughter Molly.
Hey, Roger.
Say hi to my daughter
Molly.
Molly. Say hi to Molly, Roger.
Welcome. Hi, Molly.
Hey, Roger.
So I'm going to give this phone to Reed, and he will narrate.
Yes, please do.
They're recording a holiday show, so you narrate as I'm up in the tent. Obviously, I don't want to hold the phone. So here's Reed, and he will talk to you.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Reed. How are you?
So, Roger's getting ready to bowl in the 10th frame. He's got a strike in the 9th frame.
Wow.
He's sitting on a 141 after 8 frames with a strike in the 9th frame. Looking for a double in the 10th frame. He's waiting for the other bowler to go ahead of him.
Is Roger's a pretty good bowler, huh?
He's a very good bowler. He averages about 180.
Wow.
And now he's setting up the ball right now.
Just for reference, I'm looking up the average score per game of the number one professional bowler in the 2016 season, and it was a 236, which is incredible. But
oh,
sweet,
Molly. Did Roger throw?
Roger just threw a strike. He's in the 10th frame. He's now got a double. Strikes in the 9th and 10th frame.
Wow, this is exciting.
Yes.
Now, what happens if he throws another strike? Do you guys win?
We definitely need another strike and perhaps need him to throw a third strike in the 10th frame to win this game. It's a very nip and tuck game here.
This is exciting.
We are sitting at 1070, and he did it.
Whoa.
He's now thrown 3 strikes in a row.
Whoa.
What?
Who knew?
Yes. It's a turkey. Isn't that a turkey?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a turkey.
Very nice, Cody.
Look at me dropping some, striking out on some bowling knowledge.
You ought to drink to that, Cody.
Spare me the bowling puns.
Wow. So now what happens? Does he wait? Does he have to throw? Does he throw again? What's his deal?
Yes, he has one more ball, and we'll see what happens here. He's at the approach again, ready to release it. He's now heading to the line. He's throwing it, and he got 7 pins.
Oh.
And he ends up with a 198, and we end up losing by 10 pins.
Now, does Roger swear? Does he swear a lot?
I'll give you back to Roger.
Thank you, Reed. This was.
Hello.
Do you swear a lot when you choke like that, Roger?
No, I just yell and go. Oh no!
3 strikes in
Roger.
A row.
That was incredible.
What happened? You seem to be in a groove. You threw the turkey, as Cody labeled it correctly, and then all of a sudden you go with a 7. What happened?
It was a little light in the pocket. It was a little light in the pocket. It was still on the same line as I normally
That's
throw.
What I say about Cody. He's a little light in the pocket.
Ha-ha!
Because he never has cash. He never has cash. Never.
Well, let's see. So I opened in the first frame. I had a split 7. I had a strike, spare, spare, strike, spare, spare, spare.
Roger, listen, we love you. We don't need to go through every frame of all the games tonight.
I think we made it.
That was fast. Well, just the second frame. Second game.
Second game.
So
Roger,
we're still ahead on series, and we're getting ready to start the third game. And everyone is starting to get their free drinks.
Nice.
And we're having a good time.
Are you on a lane adjacent to the Jesus? Are you playing against the Jesus?
No.
No, it's very loud in here, and it's, actually there's 2 leagues bowling on Thursday night. There's a smaller league that takes up, I think, about the first 12 lanes or
when
so.
When you say smaller, do you mean in stature? Is it really short people?
Mm. Well, some of them are short, but yeah, in numbers.
Okay.
And then we take up the rest. We are a men's league. The other league is a mixed league.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, you don't do the mixed match.
You don't
want to
bowl with girls? No girls allowed? You're the He-Man women haters bowlers?
Yeah, Roger, I've been complimenting you for 20 minutes, and now I'm furious.
You could come any time you want to.
But she can't bowl.
I'm horrible. I'm not.
She can just watch, is what you're saying.
Once I got a double, and I genuinely thought I was going to have a stroke because I was so excited. But what I was saying before was that I was looking up professional bowling averages, and they're all in the low 200s. So the fact that Roger is bowling a 201 sometimes is wild. He's almost a pro.
Well, but that's few and far between. Like last week, I had a 201, a 214, and then a 167.
Uh-oh.
So it all averages out. The crazy thing is I'm way below average this year over last year. I finished last year with a 184. I fell this year down to a 159. I'm now up to a 163. So I've got a long way to come back.
All right. Well, listen, it was. I'm glad you called in. We hope we didn't interrupt your bowling.
Not at all.
Or throw you off. It was impressive to hear you get all those strikes. We were very impressed to hear it. We're sorry you couldn't be here, but happy holidays. Hey, guess what? In January, we might actually start seeing you more on Sundays.
That's a miracle. You'll have to wear your ID badge so I know who you are.
Yeah, unless there's a sport that we don't know about that we're going to start covering here. When's the lacrosse season?
We're doing cricket next, I thought.
Oh, water polo?
Oh, I like
that.
WGN, the history of WGN radio on Saturday evenings, the 10 Quintetler had an hour-long show on the Chicago bowling scene back in Barrie.
So are you saying you want to bring back a bowling show?
I would love to.
Sure, and then, you know what, the first time I'm preempted on Sunday for bowling?
Yeah.
That's it. I would just say, spare me, I'm out of here.
You know what we should have? We should have the Brian Noonan Show bowling fundraiser. And we could raise funds, we can invite the public in, and we could take over a bowling alley for an afternoon and raise funds for a nice charity, and we'd all have a great time.
I think that's wonderful. We'll run it by promotions. They will not return our emails, and then we'll forget about it.
You guys have a great holiday. I love
Thank you,
y'all.
Roger.
We'll
love you,
soon.
Too. We will talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
See, that's what happens when you answer the phone without a screener, when you just answer it.
Don't you appreciate me now?
No, I just wouldn't talk to anybody.
Can I give you two hilarious anecdotes about bowling?
Sure.
I was in a bowling league when I was in fifth or sixth grade.
Is that right?
And there was a kid on my team named Jesus.
But Jesus?
When he put his name in the thing, it said Jesus.
Sure.
So I go, Mom, there's a kid on my team named Jesus. And she's like, it's Jesus. Which is funny because the Jesus is that character
from
in the
Big Lebowski,
right? Small world.
Are you familiar with that reference?
I mean, I've seen parts of it.
You will be. Many
Not
of
a
your,
Big Lebowski.
You'll
lady.
Meet people at some point that are obsessed with it, and then they'll say, let's watch The Big Lebowski, and then you'll watch it 75 times, which is what my friends made me do when I was little. Other anecdote, my co-host on Game Life Balance US, Jonathan Martin.
Yes.
He has bowled the perfect game.
Whoa.
And in fact, he bowled the first perfect league. The first league perfect, I don't know what the term for it is. It's kind of like a...
when you bowl a 300?
No. So he bowled a 300, but he also bowled a league 300, which is when every frame, someone on your team rotates. So it's like you bowl the first frame, then the next person bowls the second, then the next person bowls the third.
Oh, so as a team,
right.
They...
And he bowled the final frame, which meant that he had to bowl three strikes in a row.
Oh, my God.
So they were the first... the Auburn High School, Auburn Knights in Rockford, Illinois, was the first team ever to bowl a league or team 300 in the NIC 9 conference, which is now the NIC 10 conference or NIC 11 or something. But yeah, so I didn't want to make Roger feel bad, but my co-host on Game Life Balance US used to be a killer at bowling.
Did he quit after that or did he?
Yeah, I would have stopped.
Yeah, I think I might never bowl again.
He stopped after high school. He didn't play after that, weirdly.
That makes sense, though, because, I mean, he came out a king. A kingpin, you might say. Ayo, bowling.
Ha ha! I'm sorry, what happened? I must have blacked out.
Yeah.
I had a small stroke.
Just face planted on the mic. So you want to hear about Alaska?
I do. I'll just finish up with that was true about Roger. I was on my way. I had passed him and was on my way to say hello to his wife. Go say hello to Bridget. Hey, how about... But that was a fun party. Dave Plyer's house is full of the coolest retro TV memorabilia you've ever imagined. He has some old WGN radio stuff in his house. It's a lot of fun. One last Christmas party, because that was last weekend. I had the big staff party for the faculty staff party from school on Friday. And you know how I was feeling last week when I came to do the podcast, that I didn't really want to come. I didn't want to go out. All week I had been figuring I wasn't going to go to this party.
Mm-hmm.
I had paid my money, my $12. I was pot committed, as they say in poker. All my $12 was in there for my catered pizza and salad, whatever they were going to bring in. Yeah.
Ooh.
So even all day Friday at school, because it was an ugly sweater theme at the party. So a lot of the teachers had their sweaters on all day, and they were like, Noonan, where's your sweater? I was like, oh, well, it's school. I'm not going to, you know, whatever. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm not even coming. And a couple of teachers said, are you coming? And I was like, I don't know. Why not? I don't know. So I go home, and I still didn't want to go. But I put on my festive pants, and I put on my ugly sweater, and I went, and I was sitting in the parking lot across from the bar, sitting in the car, still trying to decide if I wanted to go in. And Debbie called. And I said, I don't know if I want to go. And this is what she said. You'll appreciate this, Molly. She said, if it was Molly, we'd tell her to suck it up and go in.
True.
And I said, well, that's true, but I'm not Molly.
Oh, shots fired.
Mic drop. I'm out.
How do you feel about that? Your dad's not literally you.
I feel like everything in that story was 100% accurate. Right? I often share that mentality and don't want to go to things. And my mom will call and say, she'll feign that she needs to talk to me about something else. And then she says, so, you going to that thing? And I say, I don't know. And she just says, I mean, I just feel like if it were me, I wouldn't want to miss out. You know what I mean? So if you go.
How many voices is mom doing in a phone
call?
She
really, it's a lot. She cycles through everything she can. But she pushes, she's an event pusher, which I guess is good because I'm assuming you went to the party since we're about to hear about it. And
that was the story that I sat in the parking lot for 3 hours debating. I had to pee, so I went home. I went in and I ended up having a good time. But I'm there with, you know, a lot of the teachers. Well, all the teachers, I think, are younger than me. And they know me. So they were running a special at this bar, $2 shots of apple pie. You ever have apple pie shots?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, that's going to come back around in my Alaska story.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
So we're doing some apple pie shots, and one of the other second grade teachers, who's like 24 maybe?
Va-va-voom.
What? That was gross.
I know. We're pretty gross on this podcast.
You're forgetting.
Sometimes.
I'm just saying.
We have a guest.
A young feminist.
What I meant is just voom.
We have three adult feminists.
Hubbala.
On this bubbala. Podcast.
Anyway, she turns, she sees me. We're all doing, everybody, it was a, you know, people bought a round of shots, whatever. So she's sitting at the bar and I'm standing like, not behind her, but kitty corner. I'm standing at her 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Got it.
I can picture that.
But yes.
Well, South by Southwest.
I wasn't hovering over her. I wasn't trumping her at a Hillary debate. None of that. I was off. I didn't keep coming up on her. I'm back. And so we do our shots, and she goes, Mr. Noonan, I've never seen you do shots before. And I said, well, yeah, that's because we haven't gone out drinking before. I said, where do you think I'm going to do shots? In the lunchroom? Or, you know, just after a bad day, I'm going to be getting geezed on the playground? Oh, and so I kept teasing her about it, and she thought I was offended. Because even Monday when I saw her at school, I said, oh, I don't want to say her name. My favorite part was when you couldn't believe you hadn't seen me do shots before. I couldn't believe you were so offended by that.
Oh, my
God. I wasn't offended. I was joking about it. Well, you kept saying it. I go, yeah, because it was funny. Not funny.
Humor is an art.
Well, she's also the woman who said she was triggered and felt she was being bullied because another teacher was joking about her... that she and another single teacher should be a couple.
Ah.
But, it, you know, So she was triggered by
Who would joke about that?
Anybody who's had, you know, a number of drinks. We did shot skis at the bar, which were fun.
Have you ever done one?
No, I haven't, but...
They're fun.
They seem fun. The only place in New Orleans that had them was somewhere we went for sorority events all the time, and we were not allowed to use the shot ski because it was a liability concern.
Well, that makes sense. Well, at this bar in Berwyn, there was no liability
concern. No liability concerns.
We shot skied it up. A lot of shots. Last year, I was the last man standing at the faculty Christmas party, to the point where I took two other teachers. The bar we were at closed. We went across the street to another bar, and they were both done, and I was the last man standing.
Nice.
So that was legend all year, how Noonan outlasted everybody. I won the ugly sweater contest this year.
Wow.
Yes, not wearing this one.
Crushed it.
Yeah, a different one.
What did it look like?
This is the flamingo one.
Oh.
With my ornament pants, my red ornament pants and my green Converse. So I was a whole look. Even though I didn't want to go to the party, I figured if I'm going in, I'm going to win. So because the prize was you get to park in the principal's spot all this week, which would have been great with all the accoutrements I have to bring for pancake breakfast tomorrow. But in my head, I knew I was going to win because I dominated it. I walk in and everyone's like, oh, and there were a couple other good sweaters there. I'm not going to lie to you. But I had the whole package. So you may have seen that little trophy at the house. Ugly but classy. It's a trophy about, you know, 4 inches high. It's got this sweater with its arms up like Rocky. So I won, which I knew I was going to do. But in my mind, I'd already planned this out. I said, well, who came in second? And they said, oh, this fourth grade teacher came in second. I said, well, I want to give her the prize.
Why?
I'm keeping the trophy, but she can have the parking place. She did, you know. She deserves a parking place. Oh, suddenly I'm a hero again.
Why did you do that?
I'm a hero because I win, and boom, I'm a hero because I give up the prize to this to a woman who's been teaching there for a long, long time.
That's
so
nice.
So I look like a sweetheart.
I just feel like I would want to keep the spot more than I would want to be.
Nah, I don't care. I did say we worked out an agreement. If I get to school tomorrow. Before all the spots up, because usually I park across the street so I can get out quick.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no more spots up front, I will take the principal spot tomorrow for Friday. But if there are other spots, I will take another spot and leave her that spot so she has the whole week.
Nice.
Benevolent, won't you say?
Very benevolent.
I win. I'm a winner. Actually, I'm winning so much I'm getting sick of winning.
Yeah?
I have been made great again, all because of the holiday sweaters. That's it.
It's one way to do it.
Yeah, well, you could not be less interested in this story. You are nogged up. How many nogs have you had?
I was glancing
at... Are you at a fourth nog?
Hey, Brittany, to make sure she's okay.
How many nogs have you drank?
A couple.
All right. You've had a lot of...
He's antsy. He wants to talk about Alaska.
I know
I kinda wants
to talk about Alaska. That's why I'm saving Alaska till last so it can be...
Did I seem disinterested?
Time.
I thought that was really
seemed
cool what you did.
Unbelievably disinterested.
I was...
So disinterested I wasn't that even, I'm throwing away my Fiddler on the Roof playbill.
I wasn't even...
Tradition!
I wasn't even not looking at you. I was actually engagingly looking at you. Longingly looking...
I understand.
Gazing in your...
I understand.
General direction.
You were at the North Pole.
See?
All right.
And all was well.
All was well. All right, so that
Am
was
I the only
it.
One that
now,
had the Gwen Stefani song stuck in my head that whole time that he was singing that?
Yes. No, you're not the only one. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the whole time.
The
I was
Gwen
like,
Stefani
wait a sec,
song.
Is
if
Gwen?
If I was a rich girl. La na 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 na.
Yeah. The
and
whole time.
Then I bring the boys to the yard, or whatever she
hey,
says.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my milkshake brings all
no,
the boys to the yard.
No, that's a separate song.
I hit my knee on this again.
Oh, that's...
Two people were fornicating on the counter and
I
broke
was...
it, and now there's a giant pole right there.
Now who's the drunk one? Look up If I Were a Rich Girl on YouTube.
Yeah,
but you got to skip to like 2 minutes into it, because the first minute is just people that are greased up with six-packs gyrating.
Actually, when
I'm not exaggerating. Have you seen this video?
No, I don't think so.
It is the most sexual video I've possibly ever seen.
Oh,
in fact, I'm going to pull it up right now.
What's a rich girl? I'm looking at it.
When we left, I couldn't think of the name of the song, but I was like, there is a song that sounds exactly the same as that. I think she sampled the beat.
Oh, she definitely sampled the melody.
She's on a pirate ship or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of six pack. It's just a bunch of mostly naked women with crazy six packs dancing and gyrating on a pirate ship.
Gwen's getting it done.
Gwen has a bod. Like, she is fit.
Are we objectifying her right now?
No, she, dude.
I don't think it's objectifying if she makes her money off it.
Dude, she has a bod.
She does.
We're all in agreement. All right. Does everyone know the song? Should we play the song?
We can't.
Oh.
We can play a second of it.
Can we?
If you can pull, yeah.
It's. I have the video up, but there's an ad.
He's got it on the board. If he's got it on his computer, he can do it.
Oh, can you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I usually don't play things off the computer. Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, okay. You've done it the last couple times.
Have I?
Yeah. Went on the podcast, and then I have to be like, that is the law that requires you to not do that. Give me your privacy data. How did Mark Zuckerberg get involved in this?
I don't know.
Mark, get out of here.
I need
we gotta lock the doors.
Private text messages.
Mark, please. It's a Christmas podcast.
I like how that's my newest puppet. I used to do like Montesquieu the Frenchman and Randy Phone Calls, the radio announcer who talks like this all the time.
I miss Randy Phone
Calls. Isn't that right, Brian? Maybe we can get him back on a future show. Yeah. Back to you, Brian. And now it's just Mark Zuckerberg, who is like an Emperor Palpatine of privacy data. Also, Casey pointed out when we watched the Facebook Live video last week that I keep saying, give me your privacy data, which is like not a thing you can give someone.
Yeah.
What is privacy data?
I don't know.
So we're burned out on the board. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I can just play it on my phone.
Yeah. Into the mic? I would be fine with that.
Okay.
Would you really?
As an executive producer of a major market radio podcast.
Somebody did something different with the board. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, there we go. I hear it.
Closer.
Here it comes.
There we go.
Oh, except we gotta skip to the chorus part.
Yeah, I don't know where the time stamp.
Yeah, it
on
comes.
All right,
there we go.
Yes, this is yes. If I were a rich man, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Da 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 la 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 la.
Oh.
Yeah, she's even kind of doing the tradition dance.
Yeah.
All right, turn it off before we have to pay money.
Yeah, but it was a little distracting actually because I was just thinking about Gwen.
It took me a minute to remember who did it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, why is it so familiar? And then, yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, all right. So you're the hero of the school. I am. But now let's turn to what everybody's tuned in for. Let's not be, let's not lie. No,
Gwen Stefani?
Yes, Gwen Stefani talk and her bod. Because that's Molly. That song's a bop, isn't it, Molly? Is that song a bop?
It's bop. I say that sometimes.
That's what the young kids are saying, Cody.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Since when?
I mentioned that in passing yesterday.
That's a Dan Seals song.
It's been a whole thing.
All right.
But
this is exciting because I'm very jealous of you. You went to Alaska last week.
Yeah.
Which I told you before you left is a place that is on my list. I cannot wait to one day go to Alaska and do all sorts of things. So what happened in Alaska? It looked very cold.
It was very cold. So as I mentioned on the podcast last week, this is the time of year just before the winter solstice.
Oh.
The winter solstice is...
Is this when the witches come?
It is.
Okay.
Many witches.
Wow.
Yeah. They double toil in Alaska.
Who does a toil in Alaska?
These witches, the winter solstice is the shortest day/longest night of the year. And the summer solstice is the opposite. So we're coming up on the winter solstice. So the days are very short. The nights are very long. I explained last week. My first full day in Alaska, sunrise was at 10:46 a.m. and sunset was at 2:41 p.m.
Whoa.
So less than 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, the sun doesn't come up. It's not like a day. It's not like a real day.
Right.
The way I would describe it is maybe a late summer or a fall day in Chicago, let's say. Picture like 5:30, 6 o'clock when it's not sunset. Exactly, but it's maybe just before then.
Dusky, would you call it
yes,
dusky?
I would call it dusky, and in about, like, just in one corner of the sky. So it doesn't feel like it's night all the time, but it feels like it's almost sunset for basically 4 hours.
How many days were you there?
5 days.
Did it make you sad? Like, did it affect your mood?
It didn't affect my mood, but it made me incredibly sleepy.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah, all the time, because you always think it's almost bedtime.
Every day at 3 p.m. almost exactly, I felt like I needed to go to bed.
Really?
And the sun was still out, quote-unquote, at that time.
Right.
But again, it's not... Like, when I landed in Chicago at around noonish, let's say on the Tuesday when we got back, that was the first time I had seen a sunny day in a week.
Wow.
Straight up. So that was, it was very interesting.
So does that put a damper on your, on Alaska?
No, we still did some outdoorsy stuff, but what I didn't realize is how hot it gets in Alaska, in Fairbanks. So it was described to me by locals in Fairbanks that Fairbanks is the capital of the world for temperature swings. It can be negative 100 degrees in the winter, and it can be 100 degrees above zero in the summer.
Whoa.
So it gets very, very cold, but it also gets very, very hot.
Okay.
Now, most of the residents said it hasn't been less than, say, 50 degrees in their lifetime. So maybe that's climate change, global warming. I don't know. But
that's fake news.
Sure, it's fake news. But it has been in the 90s in the last few decades.
Really?
And so this is Fairbanks. It's in the middle of Alaska. The nearest mountains are a couple hundred miles away. You can see them way off in the distance.
Okay.
But you're effectively in what they basically call it a winter desert. So it's a very dry climate. And it gets very hot in the summer, very cold in the winter. Because it's a dry climate, it's a different kind of cold. It's not a cold that you feel a chill in your bones, per se, like in Chicago, where it's a very humid cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you can't feel your hands or your feet. Most of the time when we were outside, it was negative 15, between negative 5 and negative 15 degrees. So that's, it's weird. It's a very weird climate up there. And so they said if you come back in the summer, oh, yeah, people are kayaking. People are out just outside all the time. Blueberries are huge up there.
Really?
Which I had no idea. I'm like, how are blueberries big in a frozen wasteland? And they're like, no, you don't understand. In the fall, blueberries are huge. So
you sound like you were just spouting misinformation the whole time you were up there. It's a frozen wasteland. They don't have blueberries.
Yeah, it was very surprising to me. Now, Fairbanks is, again, in the middle of the state, so there's not a lot of mountains. So the picturesque scenes that you probably see in a lot of photos and everything are Anchorage.
Okay.
And that's a six-hour drive south.
Yee.
Or about an hour plane ride, I guess. So
Alaska's big, from what I hear.
Pretty huge.
All right.
Pretty ridiculously
sizable.
Huge.
Yes.
And there were a lot of really pretty trees. I mean, the trees were, of course, everything's covered in snow because after the first snowfall, nothing melts for the rest of the year, the rest of the winter. So everything just continually gets covered in snow, and all the birch trees start to bend over. Now, when we got there, the birch trees, because of all the weight on the branches, mm-hmm. they'll just curve over and they'll like hit the ground. And I guess at the end of the winter, there's no longer a texture where you can kind of see the trees, and maybe pine trees are mostly green with a little white. By the end of the winter, it is sheer white. Just everything coated with a thick coat of white, and the trees are completely bent over, they say. We saw a lot of trees that were mostly bent over, and some were, there'd be a branch, and it's just like a U shape, like an upside down U. So it's really interesting, just Alaska, the way it exists, is weird. Because it's so different than anywhere in the continental United States, the way that it affects trees and the way that it affects agriculture. I mean, there's not a lot of agriculture there, obviously.
Right.
There's a couple military bases in Fairbanks, and that's why I went, because my sister-in-law's husband is still an active Army member, and he's stationed there.
All right.
So that's why they chose to move there. And so we stayed with them, so we got a very local. And we get to know like a lot of the kind of behind the scenes of Fairbanks, because my sister-in-law worked as a 911 dispatcher, and now works in some kind of like therapy/counseling kind of setting. So she kind of hears like the seedy underbelly of Fairbanks.
Is there a lot of alcoholism in Alaska?
There is a lot of
spousal abuse.
Actually, there's a lot of alcoholism, and there's a huge drug problem right now.
Really?
I was actually just listening to someone on a podcast talking about growing up in Alaska and how that's a serious issue, especially in the winter, because seasonal depression is so huge. And then also there's not a lot to do. So it's like, it just because of a lot of reasons, alcoholism and drug abuse are huge issues.
Yeah, yeah. And from her expertise, she knows that actually suicides are highest in the summer.
Oh, weirdly. Really?
Yeah, which is bizarre,
that's
right?
Strange, yeah.
It has to do with something like a rebound effect of when things are just really that bad for that long. It's almost like in the winter, you're not even motivated enough to kill yourself.
Oh my God.
That sounds really horrible, but that's kind of the way it was described to me. And then once the weather gets really good, like then this depression really kind of...
Hey, I feel good enough to kill myself now.
Yeah, it's
yikes.
Dark and
wow.
messed up. And
that's horrible.
There's math problems and heroin problems and all that. I don't want to make it sound like it's like some hellhole or anything. It's obviously...
It's a godforsaken wasteland. It's a hellscape.
I mean, University of Alaska or University of Fairbanks is up there. So we went to the university campus and it's really
cool.
Nice. And there's a lot of really nice people. And it's weird because there's a camaraderie. But at the same time, there's a heavy survivalist element. So
oh, okay.
The way that what's super fascinating up there is the architecture. Their home is heated with pipes under the floors that they heat, and they heat the floors.
Okay.
And that's what essentially keeps most of their...
So radiant heat from the floor.
Radiant heat from the floors, but they also have a fireplace in the living room. If you don't heat the insides well enough, then frost will accumulate through your windows. Because it's so cold outside that frost just will generate there. And in order for them to get all this heating, there aren't really a lot of gas lines because it's so rural and so spread out.
Yeah.
So they rely on all this oil that they get, all this heating oil. So they get the heating oil, they'll fill up their tank, and they knew somebody up there who had a neighbor or somebody come and siphon all of their oil before they had moved into this vacant home. So when they moved in, all the pipes were frozen.
Oh.
And they actually thought it by using a hairdryer at first. Like the professionals, like they called professionals to do this. They started with a hairdryer and then used heavier equipment, eventually got it thawed, but it took them about a week to be able to use the pipes to heat their home again. And like you've got to realize, like this is, if you're not heating your home,
right, life and death.
Like you have to stay in a hotel that week, right? So it's just another planet.
Wow.
So on one hand, you've got these kind of survivalist people that are like, look, I'm going to take what I need.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, they say that if you see a car on the side of the road, someone will stop for you.
Okay.
And the culture isn't necessarily very friendly per se, like not really chit-chatty, like, hey, neighbor, how can I blah, blah, blah.
Hey,
but people
neighbor.
Will stop and be like, what do you need? I'm going to help you. Here's your help. Okay, bye. And then they go on their way.
Wow.
So the culture is just so unique up there and so totally different. And we got sold on the summer. We really, like, Casey is dying to go back in the summer.
I would really want to go to Alaska in the summer because then you can do all the cool Alaska activity. Like you said, kayaking and all that stuff. That would be so fun to do somewhere that's like so open.
See, I want to go there to go to like Denali and go back in the backcountry.
But you would still want to do that in the summer, though, because, right?
Well, yeah,
because you would need light.
Yeah, I don't want to be there when it's, you know.
That's why I would want to do the summer.
Completely frozen.
Yeah, and it was funny because one of their neighbors that we met said that they like when it's below negative 20. Because that's when the ice hits a certain point of slipperiness where it's easier to drive on than above negative 20. I don't know how that works.
Maybe they just put the car in neutral and just let it roll.
They insist. They're like, we like when it's below negative 20. But
that's
above
insane.
That...
Well, because maybe the ice, there's no... Because nothing is melting on it ever, so it doesn't get wet and slippery. It's
maybe
just
it's,
like dry ice.
Yeah.
So you get some traction on it.
Exactly.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And I mean, they had...
How would you like to live like that? No,
dude,
thank you.
Listen, no, my sister-in-law had a pickup truck, and I mean, like, when we turned onto any road, I mean, we're going 5 miles an hour at max.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
I mean, the traction is just, the roads are, and they plow them and everything, but like there's only so much you can do. And when it becomes, you know, below negative 10 for several months at a time, it's like, they said by the end of the winter, it's like some of the roads are, you just...
Holy smokes.
So it's really different. We went in a couple places. We went to a little ice sculpture area and, you know, we...
What do people, if I may interrupt... I know your brother-in-law is in the Army, and your sister-in-law is a therapist now, but what do people do up there? It's a city, so there's, I'm sure, bankers and teachers and regular folk, but how do kids go to school when it's that cold? How does any of this happen?
You know, I asked...
How do you live?
I asked, what do high schoolers do up there? And they said, they're outside all the time. It's a very outdoorsy
place.
They're out camping. The university students, some of them actually set up like a tent and camp next to the university campus for like weeks at a time and will just camp there and then go to class and live out of like a tent.
What?
It's super outdoorsy.
That's crazy.
This is what drove me crazy. I'm like, I thought Alaska was a cold place. But no, it's a really cold and a really hot place.
Whoa. Although also on that podcast that I just listened to on the way back from the airport, which is why I remember so many things about it. The guy who was talking about growing up said that in his class, all through elementary and middle school until he switched to a bigger school, had two people in it. It was just him and one other kid in his grade. And then, yeah, he said that after school, they would just go outside until it was time to go inside. Like, that was the activity, was to go outside and hang out in nature or, like, have a bonfire or something outdoors and then go inside. Also, because he said it's harder to do that once it is consistently dark. I mean, they would still do it, but he was like, if it was light out, yeah, we were outside. Which is so interesting.
Besides the suicide statistic, even if you're not like prone to depression, how does your sister-in-law your sister-in-law and her husband, how do they cope with this stuff? What do people have those sun lamps? Do they go to artificial places to get some sunlight? What do they do?
So she works in some counseling capacities and recognizes that seasonal affective disorder is an actual thing.
Right.
And so actually my wife has kind of poked fun at her, but she's kind of mocked her relentlessly.
Come on.
She's been skeptical of that because she's like, I mean, if it's dark, of course you're going to be not happy. But seasonal affective disorder is when you're debilitated. Mm-hmm. It's like when you like just can't even get out of bed. And that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And they do treat it with sun lamps.
Yeah. Gary Meyer used to bring a sun lamp in.
Oh, really?
During the winter. Yeah.
Yeah. And it actually does help. It's shockingly effective.
Does everybody have one in their home or what?
A lot of people do. The people they that do. Suffer from it or need it do.
Okay.
And then, you know, others don't. Others are just able to kind of get through it. And part of it's being social. Part of it's being connected. Part of it's just doing things indoors. I mean, there's a level of isolation, but they don't say that they really feel isolated because it is kind of a town. The other really interesting thing is the Native American population lives completely separately almost because the Native Americans up there – there's a pretty large population of them because, like, they were far enough north to where not, like, mainland United States. We didn't, like, wipe them out, you know?
Right.
So they're there, and they have their own entire everything. So they don't require any kind of license to do any hunting or fishing. They have, like, basically carte blanche on everything. They have hospitals up there run by Native Americans only for Native Americans. It's completely free healthcare for them. But it's only in that Native American system. So we went up by a hospital. There's a huge hospital system up there, which, you know, runs on insurance and all the crap that Americans have to deal with. And then across the street is a hospital, and it's like more brightly colored, and it looks like a Native American hospital would look, I guess, if you were to like kind of build a modern hospital.
You went to Central Casting and said, I need a Native American hospital.
Yeah, like almost a stereotypical, like very like flamboyant colors, but like... like a headdress color kind of thing, like almost a teepee shape for a couple of the buildings. And like, they're like, that's the Native American hospital. If you walk in there, they will not treat you.
What if it was, well, I guess it's right across the street because my initial question was like, what if you're out in the wilderness doing some kind of activity and it's like a life or death hospital situation and you go into the Native American hospital? Will they just be like, sorry?
I don't know. I do know that as a dispatcher, sometimes, and the other thing is like, the U.S. government and them have a certain kind of relationship. So let's say a Native American camp somewhere, a tribe calls up and they say like, hey, there's a guy running around with a gun shooting people. And then the dispatcher has to be like, okay, well, there's like a state trooper 3 hours away that might be able to get to you soon by like a helicopter. So, I mean, you are on your own.
Everybody's probably armed.
This was when Casey said, she's like, this is where I understand people that want to own a gun. This is where I'm like, Second Amendment needs to stand in this kind of place.
Yes, exactly. If you're in a remote area, and it could be, you know, in the middle of the country anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of really open space in this country.
Yeah.
And how many times have you driven by somewhere and where do these people go to the store? Where do they go to school? You know, there's a lot of places where help is a ways away. If it's coming at all.
Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense.
Hate, I can't even imagine living in, like, that sentence of, like, sorry, there's someone 3 hours away is literally just giving me chills. Like, I could not ever live somewhere so isolated.
It's really freaky. And the other thing is, stuff's expensive up there.
Oh, really?
A bag of potato chips is like $6.
That's who was, well, anything I've watched, any shows I've watched documentary-wise about Alaska, and my aunt, Molly's great aunt, moved to Alaska for a while, to Seward, Alaska, to be a speech therapist. She was a speech therapist in Detroit, and I don't know why she decided to, you know, she was just going to go to, she saw an ad, they were looking for speech therapists in Alaska, and she went up there for a couple years, and she said, yes, everything was very expensive. Because it all has to come from somewhere else. It's like being in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's all got to come. Yes, you know, Alaska's on this continent, but you have to go through Canada to get there or fly there. So it's, you know, like being on an island.
I mean, really? And
did you run into a Palin?
We didn't see any Palins or mooses.
Did you? Neither one?
Nah.
It sounds like your trip was a bust.
We didn't catch any fish when we were ice fishing either.
Did you try to catch them in your mouth, a salmon, like a bear?
Or bear
did you
style.
Bear style, or how'd you try to catch them?
We went ice fishing.
So you sat in a yurt? What do they call the little shacks on the ice?
Are they
the
called yurts? We just called it a
yurt
cabin.
Is something different. A little cabin, that's probably what they call it in ice fishing parlance.
We got a little cabin on the lake. We walked out on a frozen lake, because it was 15 below. I figured we were safe. And there were people driving their pickup trucks out there.
15 below.
Yeah.
Now, did you buy... I see how you dress. You don't have serious winter gear.
They had thermal undergarments, essentially, for me to put on under everything to layer up a little bit.
Okay.
But we went into this little hut, and there was a stove in there. Like wood-burning fire thing. We brought a couple things of wood.
Wait, a wood-burning fire thing?
Yeah. Wow. Wood-burning fire thing.
Yeah, maybe you haven't heard of one, but they're pretty common in Alaska.
Maybe I haven't, a wood-burning fire thing.
So wood-burning stove, we raised the temperature from negative 15 to positive 60 degrees.
Whoa!
In that little hut. It took about 3 hours, 4 hours. But
and eight
still,
people.
That's
yeah,
a big...
four of us. But
so then you got to strip down to almost nothing. Because if you're layered up in 60 degrees, you're sweating like a hog. Then you walk out into minus 15, you're going to be dead within seconds.
Yeah, you can't sweat because it'll evaporate immediately.
Right.
Because it's so dry. It's wild, man. It, like, the whole thing was a trip. It's like another planet. And I'm just looking at my phone to see what else we kind of did. We went sledding down a hill, which was insane because we had to walk out. We wanted to walk up a giant hill. By the time we got to the top of the hill, we're unbuttoning our coats and stuff because we're sweating and it's negative 10. Or something.
Oh,
jumped
God.
On the sled, go down that. I have some selfies where I have little tufts of hair popping out from under my hat, and they are white because they
frozen.
Just turn pure white. I've got, you know, like your tears and your eyelashes freeze. There's frost on
I
them.
I saw a couple pictures where all only thing open was your eyes.
Yeah,
where you were completely, you know, head wrapped.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It was wild. But yeah, there's like a downtown, like a little strip mall. There's like a big Barnes & Noble and a GameStop. We pop by the Barnes & Noble for some stuff.
What do people eat up there? Elk?
People eat...
Each other?
You actually can eat caribou.
Really?
But you have to have a license to hunt it, and you have to use like the whole caribou. They're really specific with the law about that. They're really, really particular with all the hunting laws.
Cool.
And caribou is really sought after. You can't buy it. You pretty much have to catch it yourself, like shoot it and hunt it yourself.
Catch it yourself.
Yeah.
I just wrestle it to the ground and beat it into submission.
We did have some reindeer sausage.
Well, how was that?
Because you can eat reindeer. It tasted fine.
Nothing. And right now, Santa weeps.
Nah, I know.
Oh my God.
Especially this close to Christmas.
I know. Nothing.
You ate Rudolph?
Nothing to write home about. It was pretty solid, but I mean, the fish up there is fantastic. And
Did you see any of the crabbers? Any of the deadliest catch guys?
I did not see any of the deadliest catch guys.
All right.
But the other thing we did was went to a hot spring.
Whoa.
There's a natural hot spring about an hour outside of Fairbanks.
Okay.
So we drove up there. It's funny because the highway effectively was built just to go to the hot spring. Like there's nowhere to turn off or anything. You just drive an hour on a straight road, and then you get to the hot spring, and that's the end
of
that.
And then you turn around and you come back.
Yeah, but man, that was cool.
Was it?
You got in. It's like you're getting in like boiling water. Your hair's still frozen. When it's snowing, it comes down as rain because it hits a certain altitude above the spring and just liquefies.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, that was cool.
That's so cool.
And we got done and we were so relaxed.
So then it's not like because any precipitation is rain, then it's not dangerous to be sitting in there, right? If you have, like, your shoulders out, for example.
Oh, yeah. No, my head. Yeah, head, shoulders.
Your head and shoulders can be out without frostbite or something.
Yeah. Okay. Because the hot spring is so hot. You're, like, in a sauna, effectively, outside. And it was negative 15. And we're outdoors. And like, you could walk over to the side and reach up and grab a handful of snow. I actually made a snowball and, like, stuck it on Casey's back. She didn't like that.
No, she probably
didn't. She just, like, lowered a little bit, and then it just, like, melts. Yeah,
that's so cool.
It's wild.
That's very cool.
So I would try a hot spring, if at all, if you're able to make it out
and
to
the
Alaska.
Ice bar looked really cool. Yeah, where everything was frozen. You were sitting on an ice chair.
That was at the hot spring.
They had that was at the hot spring?
They, like, carved all these ice sculptures in this little ice place. And that's where the apple pie comes back.
Oh, yes.
So on the ice tour, they'll make you, they have a little bar set up, and you can drink it out of a frozen glass that is double distilled water that's an ice martini glass.
Whoa.
So they hand that to you, and the only item they do is if you want a ticket, you can get a ticket to get an apple teeny.
Okay.
Apple teeny is the only drink. So
that's odd, but
I know people make fun of me for drinking an apple teeny, but it was the only option.
No, not in a double frozen ice glass.
Right. So we drank it, and then, like, I was done early before everybody else. So I started biting off of it and
gnawing on your glass.
Eating chunks of this glass of ice. It was great. It was great.
That sounds really cool.
So I would say, where have you been thinking about going up there? Anywhere?
No. I mean, nowhere in particular. Like, wherever Denali is and going in. Along the coast, I want to go see whales.
Yeah.
I want to do maybe a cruise for part of it, and then go inland, go in country, take the train into Denali, do that kind of thing.
I would imagine it's probably a little cheaper on the coast.
Yeah.
And probably more picturesque.
Yeah.
Like, we went on some hills, and it's really cool to see the trees all frost-covered. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a winter. I mean, you felt like you were in Narnia, right? Like, all this frost-tipped everything.
I don't know what that means.
Sure, that's fine. But I would imagine that Anchorage is probably a little more beautiful because it's lined with the mountains. And in fact, my sister-in-law had just come from a business trip in Anchorage, and she pretty much said that. And she's pretty much like, yeah, Anchorage is a little prettier, but there was stuff to do in Fairbanks.
Well, that's good. So you had a good time. Very nice. And now when you're going to Rockford next week, your travels never end.
The travels never end.
Well, that's good.
The travels never.
Speaking of travels never ending, we've mentioned that Molly's here. She's spoken up. She's run her yap a little bit. But we have not. People ask all the time because they know I've shared tales of young Molly and her graduation from Tulane University with 2 degrees. Very smart. Her mother and I quite proud of her. And then she moved to New York City. Where they don't
Apple.
Make good salsa. You got to get a rope if you're going to...
What?
What?
That's I hear. What's New that? York City.
Oh.
Get a rope. It's Pace Picante
I commercial. Love that commercial.
New York City.
New York City.
You know what they make in New York? Trash. Lot of trash. And since there's no alleys, it's everywhere.
He's right.
And they make a sweet pizza around the corner from Molly's apartment.
That's
at Crown Pizza and Chicken.
Ooh. I would say 2/3 of the trash previously mentioned exists on my street and the surrounding 3 blocks. So it's not very picturesque where I am currently at. But the place around the corner, oh my God, incredible. It's called Crown Fried Chicken and Pizza. And it is...
Ding, ding, ding.
Unreal.
They know Molly there now.
There are
a couple
only,
of the guys
there are
seem
only
sweet
guys,
on her.
Well, there are only 3 guys, I think, on rotation who work there. 4, actually. 4. And they're all very nice. But literally anything you could want, they will make it for you. They have a menu
insane.
Board. It's like it looks so gross when you walk in. Like I took a friend.
Anything in terms of what?
Anything in terms of there's a
you
menu
like pizza?
Of like
you want a
pizza.
Gyro? You want tacos?
Oh.
You want fried chicken?
Yeah, pastas. Sandwiches. They have an ice cream bar. They have literally like so much, so many things. It looks disgusting when you go in, and I've seen them open the fridge, and it's not up
Doesn't
to code,
matter.
I'm sure. But it is the best pizza I've ever had. Like so good, and they make a nice chicken sandwich.
Some of
they
the best stuff is not up to code. Let's
no,
face
I you, have no problem with that at all. I'm just saying it. Like there are a lot of junky pizza places where the pizza also tastes junky. This is an exception.
Now, you have not foregone Chicago pizza. You're not one of these people that now New York pizza is better.
Here's my thing about the whole debate is it's very dumb. And I just, why? They're just different foods. Deep dish pizza and thin crust pizza are different foods. I've never in my life met a person who only likes one of those things. If you say that you only like thin crust or deep dish pizza, I'm getting so heated about this because it's such a dumb argument. You're lying. You're lying to prove a point in this fake debate. That's all I'll say. I love deep dish pizza. I like thin crust pizza. I like medium artisanal crust pizza because I'm a human person. And I like dough, cheese, sauce, and toppings, which is present in all of those dishes. So no, I'm a pizza lady.
So can you say, you just, I've mentioned it, you started a new job recently.
Because
you had
a
job when you went to New York.
I had, yeah.
And you didn't like that job.
It was bad.
It was a bad job.
I worked at an agency, a talent agency. I would say one of the top three agencies internationally.
In the world.
In the world.
Repping people like Meryl Streep, etc., that caliber
et cetera,
of talent.
Et cetera. Yeah. So I started there, which I was excited about because I had heard from a lot of people that an agency was a good place to start if you wanted to be in entertainment in any capacity, really, just because you would learn a lot and et cetera, et cetera.
Which is what you're in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, and so I was pretty excited. I started in their professional development program, which is basically like you work through all the levels of the agency. So I started in that, and then quickly, at about a month in, I was promoted. I became an assistant to a TV alternative agent, which is basically like all unscripted content. She focused on a lot of documentary projects and also a lot of production companies that were making original content. So she was on phone calls about, you know, creative things all the way to selling and packaging shows. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just exhausted because I'm starting to think about her.
She was a lunatic.
The worst person I've ever met. I was very Devil Wears Prada, except instead of any designer clothes, I just got like debilitating anxiety and depression from her.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, we would get calls every Sunday. I don't think I'm talking out of school.
No.
Molly would
I mean, it
be
was
a basket case. Didn't want to go to work the next day.
And like, I know that sounds a little
dramatic
and stuff, but genuinely, we don't have to get into it, but yeah, I mean, it was horrible.
The
and
struggle
I was,
is real.
It really, really messed up a lot of my life. A lot of my, like, I was there for, I would say, a soft 12 hours, sometimes more a day, in an environment that was just horrible in every way. In like, anything that you can think a bad job would have, I had times 10, probably. My boss was insane. So anyways, it was not good. I didn't
it
like
was
it.
Not good.
She did I have a lot of fun stories of
you
like making impossible
make,
things happen
yeah,
for
you. You know how to make reservations
oh,
where you can't get a reservation.
You guys, if you need to get into a restaurant, I will get you in. No prob. She once my boss said this is a few months into our relationship, so she had started to occasionally call me by the correct name. We were doing pretty well. We were gelling, as they say. And so she came in one day. I really didn't want to do anything that wouldn't make her what a normal person would be at, like over the moon excited about, because then she was just like
wow,
at a normal level. Anyways, I didn't want to blow it that she was sort of starting to treat me like a human being. So she came into my office one day and said she wanted to go to a dinner with her husband at this place that had just opened in the meatpacking district and was super trendy and hard to get into. She was like, I mean, it's supposed to be really hard to get a reservation, so just try your best. And if you can't do it, I'll just have to do it on my own. And I was
ooh,
like,
gauntlet okay, thrown.
That, I don't like that. I don't like that game. So I called this restaurant. They don't take reservations, they told me. They don't do private parties. They don't whatever. And just the level of ridiculous garbage that I had to pile onto these people to get a reservation was insane. So long story short for that one, I basically pulled the can I speak to your manager card right away. Then I started talking about how, keep in mind this is a personal dinner for her and her husband, I started talking about how I'm from this agency, this is one of the top clients from the agency is coming in, this is they're only going to be here once this year, they've specifically requested to be at this restaurant, all of this stuff for like 20 minutes. Finally, I get the email of someone who's in charge of their customer experience, I guess. I emailed him, I have the email somewhere, I wish I could read it. Basically, it was the most insane assistant email that's ever been sent. I used everything I could use. I put, there was a line in there that said it was one of her biggest clients. I put in parentheses, unfortunately, I can't tell you who this is, but I promise that if I could, you would never turn them away. Something like that. I also talked about how my boss was She was pregnant, but I said she was 8.5 months pregnant and couldn't take, we couldn't run the risk of her having to stand and wait for a table because of her health, everything you could do. So then my man, Richard, from this restaurant, emailed me back. She got the reservation, and miracles do exist. They happen. She went, I think she said thank you. So it was big. It was big for us.
But now you are out of there. You are out of the horrible place.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I was looking for something for a long time. Basically, every day I would come back. I would eat dinner at like 11 or 11:30, and then I would go on LinkedIn and I would go online and just search for jobs until I fell asleep. And I wasn't finding anything, and it was really discouraging. And then one day I got a phone call. From someone that I had been networking with for a long time and who knew me pretty well, saying that there was a position open in some production capacity he didn't really know at the Dr. Right. Oz show. I went and did an interview with one of the executive producers there, who is amazing, learned a lot about the position, and then was subsequently hired. I'm basically an office PA at the Dr. Oz show, which is really exciting because it's going to be a good place to learn. I can work with producers and everybody and learn a lot. And also, I don't cry every day, which is big because that was not an exaggeration. The Sunday before I started my new job was the first Sunday since moving to New York where I didn't have a hysterical sobbing breakdown for basically 6 hours.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And kind of loony.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are really that messed up.
No, there's a lot of
mental
people
health
who,
wise.
There's a lot of people who go through that, and it's a horrible thing.
Yeah, it was
to have
really
to,
bad
to have to deal with. Well, congratulations.
Thank
so
you.
people like, you know, people have been hearing about you for the last 11 years.
Yeah.
On the show, and they've heard you on this, and on Christmas Eve they will hear once again when I'm in for Roe and Anna. They will hear
a young me,
a very young you, and our old friend Christopher Michael doing Yes Virginia. We'll have all that, so you will live on in perpetuity.
Yeah, and you can rest easy knowing that I'm not drowning in my own tears.
Have you met Dr. Oz?
Yeah, he's very nice.
Very nice. Now, I know you don't want to talk about this too much, but I'll just gloss over, Cody. I don't know if you know, Molly, within her first week of being at the Dr. Oz show, was on camera.
Oh, that's true.
She was in a sketch.
Were you analyzed?
Oh, no. No. They use people from around the op. I don't want to.
Could you get
I don't
Ryan
shatter
analyzed?
The illusion.
Oh, too
I would,
late.
I'll, yeah, what, maybe a few months more. And I'll
you,
try to,
yeah, set up a date. Listen, we'd love to have Dr. Oz on the show. Anything you can do for that?
No. Oh. They.
Shut down.
Not.
I'm a major market personality.
I mean, they use people from around the office sometimes for like taped segments.
Yeah, like Conan.
I don't know if I'm
so
supposed to say.
To,
yeah,
no,
like Conan
does. Don't say too much.
No, I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, Conan obviously does that all the time, and mm-hmm. every
Most
show on
do
television
it,
yeah. does that. If they have a tape segment, it's not always just a rando from the streets.
I have right. a. There was a girl in my Second City conservatory class that I performed with, who is a writer on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Oh,
and you can
you
see her.
Want to shoot your email? That'd be much appreciated. Yeah,
I don't know if I'm on the. I don't
hook
know
a sister
I'm,
up.
I don't know if she likes me. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, probably not.
She doesn't follow me back on Twitter, so that's a
Yikes,
something.
That's a sign she doesn't like you. What's going on in the other room?
Oh, he's giving a tour to some students. I thought they were hosts trying to get in.
It's 10 p.m.
Yeah,
on a Thursday.
Well, you never know. You never know around here. No one knows what's going on.
Is he really giving a tour?
Look, the desk
to
we're...
To students.
Literally, the broadcast table we're working on was broken because two people were having sex on it.
We
so
believe that's the case because how else do you break a counter?
That has to be the case.
It's a sturdy counter. You would need the weight of two people.
I put money. I money on the fact that two people were trying to have sex on that desk and that's how it broke.
And so now they have rigged up a pipe.
Yeah, they rigged up a pipe.
Up.
And that's not a euphemism, am I right?
No, you are right.
Anyway, sorry, what were you saying about
Mr.
Oz?
So you were
just,
Mr.
I mean,
Dr. Oz.
Sometimes they use
the wizard.
The wizard.
Wow.
If I were.
I was helping.
Yeah, sometimes they use people in tape segments. And so they asked me on my second day if I would be in one. I'm not trying to burn any bridges that I haven't built yet. So I said, sure. And it was a little awkward, but I did it. It will air sometime in the future.
And what about the she got to go to the big Dr. Oz holiday party.
I was at the holiday party. It was fun. It was on a rooftop.
She got a gift.
Did they call it an Oz-a-day party?
No, but I will. I do think actually they have some kind of. I think I saw the phrase "Happy Ozzy Days" somewhere. So happy somebody Ozzy beat you days. To that. But
Happy Ozzy Days.
Yeah, it was fun. It was on the. It was at the Empire Hotel, which is a nice hotel. It was on the roof. It was a nice covered rooftop venue.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. I got stuck in an elevator leaving, which does not relate to the show, but was my greatest fear come true. So that was a downer, literally, because I was stuck in a downward elevator. But it was fun. Yeah, thank you, everyone. It was fun. I mean, it was a little, everyone was so nice, which I appreciate because I'm new, and so I don't know a lot of people, so it was a lot of me sort of doing a silent, you know, sneak through the party trying to find people that I knew. Also, it was a small space, which means that people are hanging out with the people they know and are friends with. Right. There's not a lot of physical space for you to navigate between those groups.
Yeah.
So I did have to a couple times just go up to someone and be like, I'm a part of this now. But everybody's super nice and welcoming. So, which is also just a sharp, could not be clearer about this contrast to where I was before. So it's cool to be somewhere where people are nice to you and want you to learn.
Good. Well, congratulations.
That's me.
All right, listen.
You're crushing it. Every time I hear about anything going on in New York, he's like, oh, yeah, Molly got another promotion. Just like the 9th time this year.
Thank you.
Just like a year out of school and already just destroying
it. I mean,
it.
This was, yeah, definitely I feel better about my
Much
life
better.
Now. So, anyways.
It's nice to have conversations where it's not always, you know, bad news.
Jobs can have a
horrible effect.
Enormous.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did not realize. Also, but I mean, it makes sense. I was spending more than half of my hours that I was awake. I mean, almost all my waking hours were there. And I would go to my apartment, eat dinner, look for jobs, fall asleep, and then have horrible stress dreams about my boss. And so I would sleep for like 3 to 4 hours, wake up, get there early, praying that I would be able to get stuff done in the morning so that I could leave on time. Would never leave on time. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I left on time. And on those days, I rejoiced. But mostly I did not. And so it makes sense that it has a big effect on your life. But I didn't really realize until everything was really bad. And then I was like, who is this person? Because I don't feel like myself.
Yeah.
And it was really scary. So anyways,
well, there's
that
happy, there's
Merry
a happy
Christmas.
End note. Merry Christmas.
But I mean, I guess it's like,
no, it's a Christmas.
I don't know. It's yeah, sure. Quick. And it's good. If you're sad,
yeah, you
make
gotta
a change.
Leave. Leave. You do.
Yeah.
Even if you just have a bad boss, even if you're not even working that many hours.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't
I've been there. It's,
make
it's,
you.
It's bad.
Me too.
I know you got to get out of here, Brian, but real quick, my holiday party. So our my day job, we hijacked another holiday party. So, like, we're part of a group with a bunch of investors, have a bunch of different companies, and one of them had just opened a new office, had a big holiday party. Our company effectively crashed another company's holiday
nice.
Party. But they had this big
Beautiful.
Holiday party in the West Loop, and Andy Dick was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Because this company, their thing is they effectively make it so you can pay $5 or $10 to have a B-list or C-list celebrity record like a 30-second social media message for you. So like,
what's the name? I've heard of this.
It's brand new. I don't
yes,
remember the name of it.
Yes, it is brand new. I've heard of this. Is it? But you're bidding on like they're all different price ranges, right? Or is
yeah.
this a different one?
Yeah. No, I think that's it.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of it, but we literally went to their holiday party, and Andy Dick is sitting over there, and my friend kept saying, "That's Andy Dick. That's Andy Dick." I'm like, "That's not Andy Dick. He looks yeah. nothing like that in person." So if you ever see Andy Dick in person, just remember he doesn't look like Andy Dick.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. But that was my weird claim to fame
wow.
kind of thing. The whole party was crazy. It was all young, hot people in their 20s with a ton of alcohol.
Oh, my.
I felt like I was walking in a River North to, like, a nightclub. I was like,
wow.
This party is designed to get people drunk and having sex with each other. And I felt
very... And
then
breaking counters at their workplace.
Very uncomfortable the minute I walked in. I was like, I need to leave because my wife can't make it. So I'm going to stay here in about an hour. I got lit, and then I left.
Wow.
It was dangerous. It was
wow.
It was get in, not get lit, leave.
Yeah.
That's the motto of the holiday season.
Get in,
season.
Get lit, leave, ladies and gentlemen. If you learn one thing from us, get in, get lit, leave.
Lit and leave. After the podcast, I have gifts for you.
Oh, I did not bring you your Christmas gift.
That's fine. You didn't have to get
Christmas.
Me anything.
Was that company we're talking about a Chicago-based startup?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Cameo.
Cameo.
Yes, that's it. Cameo.
Yeah.
Cameo.
Boom.
I think there's a bigger version of that, too, where you can go online. But I don't think you have to bid. It's like people...
They
charge
price.
Different prices for different celebrities.
Price. Somebody else keeps looking in here. We have the studio, right? What time are we supposed to be out of the studio?
No, I never reserved
Everybody
it.
Comes in and keeps looking.
These, one of these yeah. keep going away.
Everybody keeps, you know, they eyeball us. Stink
no, no, no,
eye,
no,
giving us
no
a stink
one,
eye like
no,
we're supposed
so
to get out
I
of
I went
here.
Out there and I talked to some of the pedestrians that have been walking
they
by.
They obviously don't know who I am.
Staring at us. And, oh, well, it's because the beard. You look different.
Well, I do, but still.
Sure.
We've been measuring that beard by, just in case anybody wants to chime in on social media, we've been measuring the beard by how many minutes into the Santa Claus it looks like he is. So when the beard first sprouted, I said it looked like he was 35 minutes into the Christmas masterpiece, the Santa Claus. And now we're at like a soft 40.
Now, did you lose your mind when you saw it?
I was confused for sure.
Her friend freaked out.
My today. Friend, my best friend.
We only
friend.
Got about 5 minutes because my parking's going to
Yeah, my best.
Oh, you probably, oh yeah, yeah.
My best friend sent me a note today being like, oh, a beard. Nice. She was surprised.
I forgot about the parking. Well, let's wrap up then. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have a wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you before the end of the year. It is always wonderful to see you, Cody and Molly. Great to have you back. Roger, we talked to. So happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy whatever. I say Merry Christmas. Listen, we've had nog. It's late. Thank you for listening. Thank you always, for always supporting us. Do you do the like, share?
Like,
Why
share.
Why do I have to remind you of this every week?
I was
you
waiting for you to finish.
All right.
And then you cue me. You have
that's
to cue
why,
me.
That's why I pointed at you.
And then I was and then I started. But then you cut me off by like, share, and subscribe and give me your privacy data. Give me all of your privacy data. And your Amazon Prime account, so I can send you boxes.
This is why I cut him off.
In the middle of the night.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.